book of Psalms, chapter 37 tonight. Psalms 37. Before I get started in Psalms, I just want to share a little bit about my testimony to what got me to Psalms 37 in this message tonight. See, I grew up, I went to church as a kid and up to about 13, 14 years of age. And then I was out and in and out of church. If church didn't fit in around deer hunting, if it didn't fit around golf, I wasn't in church. But I would go in and out of church, but I was just playing church. I mean, it wasn't serious. It was just something that I did to please other people. It wasn't nothing for me. It was pleasing people, the reason I went for so long. But Easter Sunday 2004, I visited this church, Sardis, and Brother Billy was preaching, and his sermons and his messages were powerful. You could not avoid the messages and the sermons he were preaching. He would get you under conviction, and many times I came under conviction and I froze, did not respond, didn't respond. But I'm thankful tonight that the Lord didn't quit dealing with me. And so I can remember September 2004. I slipped in the back door right over here, and Brother Billy preached a sermon that morning, "Grace is Sufficient for Thee." And I'm sure those that have been here a while can probably still remember that sermon. One of the pastors that did his funeral here, he went back over that sermon, "Grace is Sufficient for Thee." And in his sermon, he shared a little bit about his testimony about his daughter passing and how he was able to make it through that time because he knew the Lord. And see, at this time, September 2004, I had a nine-month-old sitting right next to me. And so when family comes involved, you think outside of yourself, and you've got others to worry about. And he preached, and he gave the altar call. And I sat back there, right where Miss Jennifer's sitting. This was before the church was added on, but it was in that area. I remember sitting through that service, wiping the tears away. What had I done? I'd got under conviction. He had found the Holy Spirit had finally broken me. I realized at that point, if I was to die, I was going to hell. I was going to be separated from my family. And that's the reality tonight. We ask ourselves, are you saved? You need to think more beyond you and think of others. Are you saved tonight? Do you have that assurance that if you die, that you're going to heaven? And that morning, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, if I was to die, I was going to hell. I was broken. He gave the altar call, like I said, and I froze. And he continued the altar call. He talked about, I normally don't do this, but I feel that somebody in here needs this message. Somebody in here needs to get saved this morning. And he asked the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Or if you died, would you go to hell? Raise your hand. And I remember I slipped my hand up. I identified where I was going. I identified my relationship with the Lord. I was lost, going to hell. And I froze. I didn't respond that morning. But I'm thankful for God's man doing his job. Because that Thursday night, I get a knock on the front door, and if anybody knows, nobody uses my front door at my house. We always use the side door. And so that Thursday night, I get a knock on the door. I can still remember what I was watching on TV. But he knocked on the door, him and Miss Gloria. I knew what they were there for. He was working for the Lord. I knew exactly what he was there for. But he comes in and he starts making small talk. He starts talking about the golf trophies I had on the mantle and on the wall at the time. That I spent a lot of time doing. That's all gone. I mean, that will fade away, all that stuff. He started talking about the fish I had on the wall. Again, doesn't matter. That's not what I wanted him there to talk about. But he was there getting me comfortable to talk with him. And then he noticed some Tennessee paraphernalia inside the house there. And I can remember him asking the question, "How in the world are you a Tennessee fan?" But all this, he was talking, getting me comfortable. But what I wanted him to talk about was my relationship with the Lord. And I remember that Thursday night, we sat there in my living room, and he led me to the Lord. So I'm thankful for God's men still working for God. Right. And sometimes when we do things, he's going to take us out of our comfort zone to use us. It's not comfortable for me to stand in front of crowds and talk. Small group is where I'm comfortable. But he'll take you out of your comfort zone at times. Most of you in here has been here a while. You know who Brother Andrew Tonkin is. He got taken out of his comfort zone down in the jungles. He is sharing the gospel in the jungles, or was. So we get taken out sometimes. That's where he uses us. But I'm still thankful for those men that are working for the Lord. So I got saved and started coming to church. I couldn't get enough of church. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to study more. I wanted to read more. I got into Sunday school, and I had an encourager in Sunday school. Every Sunday, you go into Sunday school, he was encouraging you to read and study your Bible. Roughly 14 years later, he is still encouraging me and to read and study. We need more people like Brother Wayne Gilmore to be encouragers for young Christians. Not only young Christians, but older Christians. We need to encourage one another. And so, I couldn't get enough of the church. I can remember sermons preached, and the preachers would just bring the Bible to life. Another one, Brother Andrew Tonkin, he preached a sermon at the Potter's House. And that was probably still, till today, one of my favorite sermons of all time. I can still remember the illustrations. He brought the Bible to life. And so when we get saved, or once I got saved, I wanted to absorb all that I could absorb. So September 2004, I get saved, and life seemed to be going great. Nobody in here from the school system. Anybody? So that summer, 2 weeks before school start, I had been teaching at Eufaula High School. Again, I was in my comfort zone. That's where I wanted to be, at Eufaula High. I felt comfortable there. I get a letter in the mail 2 weeks before school started. You're going to be transferred to this new program we're starting, an alternative school, alternative learning program. So they took me out of a comfort zone that I'd been in for 2.5 years to put me in a new program. And I fought it. I didn't want to go. I fought it. I went before the school board. I didn't think it was fair. And I got angry. I got upset. Not the fact that I had been transferred, but the fact that they lied to me since April up until August. They lied for so long. And once I found out that they had lied to me, it just burnt. You know, it just made me angry. We get angry at times. Anger is an emotion, right? And it's what we do with the anger. It's what we do with the emotion. That's what matters. And so I was angry, and our school that I got transferred to, it was over on at Sanford in the old high school there. And I was leaving work one afternoon, and I saw a car in the pickup line. And it, on the car tag, it had a vanity plate. And on the car tag, it had the letter C, and then it had PS 37, C Psalm 37. And I just brushed it off, didn't think nothing of it. But you know what I was still dealing with? That anger. I hadn't settled that. And I don't know how much time had passed, how many days had passed, and I'm going home again, and in that car line, I see that plate again, the letter C, and the PS 37, C Psalms 37. And so that's where we're at tonight. I gave a little background of my testimony to lead us into the scripture tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before you tonight, Lord, I just pray now that you'll give me the words to say, Lord. Lord, don't let me say anything that doesn't need to be said, Lord. Lord, I just pray now there's somebody, maybe somebody in here tonight, that this can be an encouragement to them, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with me, Lord. I'll just ask in your name. Amen. So I want to start in verse 25 of Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 25. Says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. How could David write about Fred? I'm going to come back and pick up verses 1 through 8. We'll start in 37:25. David now is up in age, and he's writing this psalm. So we ask, how could David, the king, have issues or problems with worrying, with envying? He had everything at his disposal. He's the king. But undoubtedly, at some point in his life, he had problems with envy and with fret or worrying. So David had problems with it. If David had problems with it, we're not excused from it either. And so, come back, start in verse 1, 37:1. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So we have two different people here. We have the righteous, and then we have those evildoers, those working in iniquity. The word fret here, the word fret and used here in verse 1, means to worry or to become agitated to the point of being mad or upset. And so in the first 8 verses here, David's going to mention about fret and worry in 3 different times. And so it was a mental thing. When we worry, when we take worrying, what is the opposite of worrying is faith. If we have faith, then we're not to be a worrier. And so worrying is a choice that we make. It's a mindset. And we can't control every thought and every aspect of our life, but we can control how we deal with it, how we think on it, how we prolong it. And second part says we are not to be worried and we're not to be envious. What's the word envy? Envy means to desire or want a quality that another person has. Envy is to want or desire what another person has. That sounds very close to being covetousness, to covet. And you know, to covet is a sin. It's one of those 10 commandments. So we're not to want what other people have, especially those working in iniquity, working in sin. We're not to want that. And so what we have is, I think so many times we're not wanting the lifestyle that we want, the possessions that they may have. We're looking more at the possessions, and we get envious, and we want those things. But what we should be concerned about, not their material possession, but their soul. It says they're workers of iniquity. They're evildoers. We'll see here in verse 16, what does it say? It says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. We're to be satisfied. He's provided. He's provided all our needs. The Bible teaches that he will provide our needs. It doesn't say provide our wants, but it'll provide our needs. And verse 2, now we'll see what we're not to be envious. Why we're not to be envious of these people. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So we have a picture of judgment. We have a picture of judgment. He's not going to allow the wicked and the evildoer to continue on. They have a time. They have a season. If you look at grass is going to grow for a season. And whether it's going to get cut down by a mower or it's going to die out by the season change, it's only there for a season. And these workers of iniquity, judgment is coming. They will be no more. And if you go down to 2, verse 9, 10, and 20, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. Verse 10, for yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish. Four times here, in Psalms 37, we see the outcome of the wicked. Is that something that we want to envy? Is that something we want to strive for, to be like those? So he's dealing with worrying, envy, but David gives us 4 points here in these next few verses. How are we to overcome this? How are we to live a joyous life, a joyful life, a victorious life? He gives us this. David, again, writing in his old age, he's already been through life. He's towards the end, and he's looking back, and he's leaving us examples of how we should live. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? It's to put our faith in the Lord. Faith is the opposite of worrying. And at the end of this, he gives us protection here. He said, we'll dwell in the land, and thou'll be fed. So trusting, putting in our faith in the Lord, he's given us protection. He's going to take care of us. And, you know, we should truly trust him in every area of our life. We should trust him. Our trust should always be in Jesus Christ. You shouldn't trust another man. You shouldn't trust another preacher, teacher. Our trust and faith only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can't even trust yourself. It says in Isaiah that our heart is wicked. We can't trust ourselves. Our trust and faith should be in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Psalms 32:10. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It said he will supply all our needs. It doesn't talk about our wants. It talks about our needs. He gave it to us in Psalms 37 that he will keep us protected. He will keep us fed. He'll supply us of our needs. So the first thing that we should do is trust in the Lord and do good. The second thing he gives us in Psalms 37 is to delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We cannot confuse the desires of thine heart. Because if you are delighting, trusting in the Lord, and you're delighting in the Lord, your heart is going to be where? Focused on the Lord. We'll be wanting to get close to Him. But what does it mean to delight in the Lord? To delight in the Lord is to be joyful for who He is and what He has done for you. There's not a single person in here that is deserving of what He did for us on the cross. There's not, we're all undeserving. And that thought alone should make us joyful in the Lord. Joyful in what He has done for you. Joyful in what He will do for you. He's going to keep us protected. We are one of His. And there's a good example in the New Testament of being joyful in the Lord. Remember when Paul and Silas were locked up in prison? They began to sing and praise the Lord. That was a picture, that's a picture of those two men being delightful in the Lord. And the third thing, verse 5. So now we have trust in the Lord, we're delighting in the Lord. Verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The word here, commit, the word commit in this sentence, in this text, means to roll off of, to cast upon, to get it off of you and put it on someone else. That's the word commit here. And so, what are we to commit? We're to commit ourselves to the Lord. Not only that, but our cares, our worries, our problems. That's where we take it off of us and give it to Him. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In Exodus 33:14, in Exodus, remember, the children of Israel going through, and Moses prays for God's presence. Exodus 33:14, and he says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So we're to cast our cares, our struggles, our problems, and give it to the Lord. And Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we're to cast, give it to Him. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're to take our problems, our cares, and put it off onto the Lord. And so we have trust, we have delight, and we have commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So we're to commit it to the Lord, but then we're to rest. Our time frame, our time is not the same time as God. We're in a society now that we want answers and we just get it at the click of our fingers. We can get it. We're instantaneous people. And but we have to wait patiently. It says to wait patiently on the Lord. My time and His time is different. He's going to supply and give on His time. He will He will take care of us. It's a promise. And verse 8. As I said earlier, anger is an emotion. You hear people say all the time, I just can't help it. I got mad. Oh, you can help it. That's a choice you make. You can help that. If you can't help it, then in verse 8, he wouldn't tell us to cease from anger. And forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You can tell when somebody gets mad, their face will usually turn red. They'll get real agitated. Their nostrils may flare, and they'll start talking loud. It doesn't mean if you talk the loudest or scream the loudest, it doesn't make you right. It just means you got a louder voice than I do. We have to control our emotions. We're to cease from anger. Because when we're angry, we may say things, do things that we didn't want to say or do. I'm always leery. I'm always worried about somebody that can't keep their emotions in check. It says a lot about a person that can't keep their emotions in check. My wife, Brandy, tells me all the time, you show no emotions. And that may be true. I don't show much emotion. But I'm worried. I'm leery of people that cannot keep their emotions in check. Maybe that's just me, but so as I said earlier, as I opened up my testimony, I was angry for a couple of months, and I didn't deal with it. I mean, it was just something that kept, it's always on my mind, always in my thought, just angry, until I come here to Psalms 37, and I began to read, and I began to study Psalms 37, and it's been a help for me. For 13 years now, it's been a help. I still go back and read this chapter several times. And see, what I didn't realize 13 years ago, or 12 years ago, he was preparing me. I was being guided. Because for 10 plus years, I got to work side by side with a great Christian lady. Her and her husband teach a Sunday school class at another church here in town. And I got to talk with her about her Bible school lesson for the week. I got to interact and share the Bible. I also got to work with a guy for a year that he was in online Bible school and he was studying the Bible and we got to talk. That's helpful as a young Christian to be around other Christians. And at that time, he was putting me around other Christians that I may not have been able to speak with or talk to on a daily basis. One year I got to work with a preacher, and I still stay in communication with him. He's a preacher. And so I got to talk Bible with him. And one of my favorite students that, remember, I was in a alternative learning setting. And one of my favorite students I've had in the 13 years, 14 years of education, he was in this program. And just a knucklehead. I mean, just sleep all day. I mean, just wasn't concerned about education. And he come to me one day. His dad was a preacher. He come to me one day, he said, I've answered the call to preach. I'm changed. And so I could see the change in him. I could see it daily. He was changing. He was changing in the classroom. No longer was he being the knucklehead. He was becoming a young man. That's what Christ does for you. He changes. And so I got to watch this young man for 2 years slowly change. He was changing. And now he graduated high school last year, and he's preaching. He preaches. And so when you are saved, you will make changes. So he was preparing me. He put me in this place that I got to work with Christian people. I got to witness a young man actually called preach and change. And but also I got a chance to witness to some of my coworkers. And I got to talk to kids, students, about the Bible, about the Lord. That's frowned upon in public education. I know it, but I got that chance to do that. I may not have had that chance if I'd have been in the classroom still at Eufaula High School. It's different. It was a one-on-one setting with these kids. And what I was mad about, what I was angry about, I can look back now, it was just the path where he wanted me to go. He was taking care of me. And I want to end tonight with two verses. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 33. If we can all get a hold of this verse. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We're to seek him first. And then John 14, 27. John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." As David left us in Psalms 37, says we're to trust in the Lord, we're to commit to the Lord, we're to delight in the Lord, and then we're to rest in the Lord. Great advice that we could all live by. We'll ask Brother Wayne Pittman if he'll close us and dismiss us in prayer.